Bibles to the 20th chapter of Isaiah. That's where we left off. Good place to start. Amen. The 20th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the first verse. Now, I just want to say that this is going to be a very short but interesting chapter. And the Lord willing, we'll move on to 21. Because collectively, it appears that there would be about 23 or 24 verses altogether there. I think we can handle that. Amen. We need all we can get, you know. As the psalmist David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against thee." And you know, when you get into the battle and you really take up the sword of the Lord, a number of things happen to you. For one thing, all fear leaves. And it doesn't make any difference what's going on. You begin to see the world as it is. You begin to see the power of God's kingdom. And you begin to realize, I've got nothing to worry about. If I'm in the hand of the Almighty God, what can man do unto me? You know, you might say, oh, but all these threats and all this stuff. Sure, but it doesn't matter. Because you will come out victorious by faith. Amen. Now, in the 20th chapter, a number of things happen. Isaiah the prophet is sent through the land of Ethiopia and through the land of Egypt. Now remember, there were a lot of people of Israel in those lands at that time. We covered that a week ago. But something real unusual happens. It says, in the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod. Now Tartan is a word that means commander-in-chief. Commander-in-chief. Well, you could almost read that in the year that Clinton came to Ashdod. Well, it would apply, I think, when you begin to read on and look at this. Consider the city of Ashdod for an example. Well, let me read the verse first. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. Now, it's just dating this here. It's saying that the city of Ashdod. Now, you might wonder, where is Ashdod? Well, if you know your Bible geography, Ashdod was a part of the city of Philistia, or country of Philistia. The Philistines. Remember what happened in Ashdod? How the Ark of the Covenant, when it was captured, was taken there? Remember how they set that Ark of the Covenant before Dagon? That big statue of the Pope. The fish god. Remember, Dagon was the fish god. It had the head on the thing was like a big fish. What does a pope wear on his head? That's a fish head. And if you trace that back, that's where he got it from us, Philistine. If you don't believe me, ask Ralph Woodrow. Well, don't ask him now. He's backslid, but he used to know. But anyway, no, a lot of people know that. And that crazy-looking hat, I don't know what else to call it, comes from the Philistine deity Dagon. All the priests of Dagon wore a fish head on top of their head because he was a fish god. Of course, nobody runs around nowadays with fish symbols, do they? On the trunks of their car and all over the place. Now, who would do such a crazy thing as to run around with a fish symbol? We know that the fish symbol is, well, for one thing, it's Dagon. Other things, it's astrologically the sign of Pisces. So you get the astrology in there too. But people need to learn that in Christianity, there are no symbols at all. None. No symbols. How do I know that? The Lord said, "Unto what will ye liken me?" What is a symbol? A symbol represents something. It likens something. You can't make idols. You can't make pictures. You can't make symbols of God because He is invisible. We don't even know what He looks like. And as far as the Lord Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, nobody knows what He looked like either because Mr. Eastman wasn't alive back then to invent the camera. And all the pictures you have of Jesus with the long flowing hair were all drawn by queer artists in Italy or France or somewhere. Little fairies hanging from the ceiling drawing pictures. Huh? Michelangelo and some of these guys, queer as a $3 bill. So you don't have any pictures of God. You don't have any statues of God. You don't have any symbols of the Lord. I'll tell you what He wants, is He wants to shine through us, wants His Word to come through us. We are to be living epistles known and read of all men. Amen. And then you don't need any symbols because you get the job done. Am I too loud? Not loud enough here? I don't want anybody to have to lean forward to hear me. All right. But I want to get this out because it's important. Now, what you've got going on here is a commander-in-chief in verse 1 of chapter 20. Tartan means commander-in-chief. Came unto Ashdod when Sargon was king of Assyria. This was an oppressive government. Of course, nowadays we don't have any oppressive governments anymore because everybody's a democracy, right? Tongue in cheek. Well, anyway, he fought against the city of Ashdod, the city of the fish god, and took it. Oh, let me go back and finish what happened when they put the Ark of the Covenant in front of Dagon, the fish god of Philistia. The Ark was there, and the fish god fell down in front of it, bit the dust, overnight. Little overnight experience there. The big idol fell down on its face in front of the Ark. Now, wouldn't you think that these priests of Dagon, when they walked in, with their popish hats on, when they walked in there and looked at this thing, and don't you think their eyes would have kind of bugged out a little? And, oh, maybe we're on the wrong track. We better find out who the true God is. No, they just picked up their deity and set him up again. He couldn't get up himself. See, they had to pick him up and put him back in place. So the next day they came in there, and this time he had fallen down in front of the ark, bit the dust again. This time both his hands were broken off and his head was broken off. Well, that did it. All that was left was the stump of Dagon, which they put up in its place again, and they now worshiped a headless, handless god. Some people don't know when to quit, do they? They're like a bad pair of brakes. But anyway, it's just amazing how people cling to what they want, and they give their heart and soul to something, and you can't shake them loose. It takes a miracle of God. Spiritual stubbornness, I guess you'd have to call it. So that's in the first verse telling us that that city was taken. You see, the Assyrians were coming through various countries and just literally conquering them and taking everything. So at this time, when this particular incident happened, when Sargon was king of Assyria, it says, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Now let me just mention, before any of you drop your glasses or anything, that naked here in the scripture still means that the person wore a loincloth. But by that standard, in other words, if you wore a loincloth, you were still considered naked if you had no outer garment. Do you realize how many naked people are running up and down the streets in the summertime and on the beaches and all these places? That's nakedness. And why did God tell Isaiah to put off the outer garment, to walk up and down in Ethiopia and Egypt? He was making a statement to a people that could hear nothing else. This was an extreme last call, a last resort to a stubborn people, to an iniquitous people. It says, and the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years. Can you imagine? For a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners, and Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. In other words, there's nothing more shameful than to be that uncovered. Shameful. The more heathen people get, the more sin-filled they get, the fewer clothes they wear. That just comes with the territory. Like worshiping around the golden calf. Same thing. The same spirits in the world today. People get together and have rock concerts and That thing at Woodstock years ago was really something to behold. Everybody's still talking about it. And what did people do? Threw their clothes away. They run around naked. And they got enough rock music, got enough drugs, they got rid of the clothes. There's your New Age movement in action, huh? Anyway, this was an indicator that a conqueror would come and would carry them off naked. They would have nothing. Do you think that in our day and age, there is an oppressive antichrist system at work? The king of Assyria and the Assyrian Empire would have been the equivalent of the United Nations of our day. A form of it back then. Bent on nothing less than making vassal serfs and servants out of everybody. That's what's going on in our country and has been going on for a long time. If you wonder why the dollar keeps shrinking, it was designed to do so. Amen. And all the woolite in the world won't keep it to its normal size. But it keeps shrinking and keeps shrinking because you've got to lower the level of prosperity down so that everybody in the world is equal. They want to bring this nation and the people down to where they have almost nothing, like everybody else has almost nothing. Then you've got a common herd. Then you can manage that common herd. That's why we've got all these public schools out there to keep people dumb. Children on their own couldn't get that dumb as they are. Do you ever listen to them talk, some of these people out in the streets? Their vocabulary consists of probably 20 or 30 words maximum. And every other word starts with an F. They can't talk anymore. They've lost the ability. The only emphasis they've got is profanity. They have no mastery, not even a slight grasp of the English language. Because they are products of the public school system, which is supposed to keep people dumbed down. To minimize information, to give them misinformation, to get them thoroughly to trust Big Brother, the government will take care of you, the government will certify that you were born, the government will certify that you're alive, the government will inoculate you, the government will educate you, the government will feed you, and the government will certify that you're dead when you're dead. When you assume room temperature, they got a certificate for that too. You have to have a license for everything in between. That's what's going on. And there is an oppressor. People are being led down the road naked and they're too dumb to know it. There's nothing that we have right now that couldn't be taken away from us tomorrow. In a moment of time, they could wipe everything out. You don't have anything anymore. People say, I own my house. No, you don't. But it's paid for. Well, you're still renting it. You get a tax bill all the time, don't you? Huh? If I owned my house, I'd still have to pay $160 a month rent for the privilege of it existing there. You know, I'd almost like to just secede from the union. Just my little property, 156 feet back and what is it, 68, 70 feet wide, just to secede from the union. See what happens. Well, I'd make the paper, wouldn't I? If I ever run out of things to do, I'll try that one. Got 8 children. I got my own standing army. And they're all stubborn. So Isaiah was going through to try to exemplify, to try to demonstrate, look, this is how you people really are. Don't laugh at me. Don't look at me. I'm just wearing a loincloth, he's saying, but you're naked. Your buttocks are showing. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves the way you're living. You see? Going down the road naked, captivity, death march off into oblivion. And that's the situation in our land today. And so it says in verse 5, and they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and of Egypt, their glory. What are they putting their trust in? The little empire that existed at that day, which was now crumbling because of Assyria. They trusted their government. They trusted the government of Egypt. You might say, but this isn't Egypt. It's the same spirits that were in Egypt. That's why you got Egyptian symbols all over in Washington, D.C., or the state of New Columbia, as it should be called, because that's what it is now. And you've got all this Egyptian symbology in churches. You have all this Egyptian symbology in the Masonic Lodge. And they're the birds that are running this thing. Maha bone and all. Huh? Oh, I'll tell you, it's a nasty system. That's one of their secret words. You're not supposed to say that above a whisper, so I'll whisper it for them. Maha bone. All right. Let's continue on. And this, the inhabitant of this isle shall say in that day, behold, such is our expectation. Whither we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? In other words, when you put all of your cookies in one basket, you're totally trusting the government, and then you find out too late that the government is your oppressor, and now you're trapped, how are you going to escape? See? That's what he's saying. They put their trust in Egypt and Ethiopia and found out too late that they were wrong. There's only one we can trust. The one who has declared in his word that he is God and has proved it time and again. The only one who deserves our trust. The only one who has proven to be trustworthy. And that is the Lord. You know, and the government knows that you can't trust it, so they make laws to make you trust them, see? Yeah, they pass laws, and they have legislation. Actually, most of what they do is really robbery by legislation. There's lots of ways to rob people. One is by legislation. You pass laws and take it away from them. Like Social Security. Remember that one? That's just an example. Federal Insurance Contributions Act, FICA. When I was in technical school, we're studying, I have a degree in marketing. When we were studying this, we had one class called Automatic Electric Calculators, which was a little two-credit thing that we had to do. Had all these fancy machines we worked with. But we did some sample payroll things, and they had on there FICA. And I said, what's FICA? And the instructor said, Social Security. I said, why doesn't it say Social Security? He said, because FICA is an acronym. It means Federal Insurance Contributions Act. So I said, well, what if I don't want to contribute? It was not mandatory to start with. You could enroll, but you didn't have to. But then the insurance company started to squawk, saying, how can the government have an insurance and run competition with us? Because people were saying, hey, anything the government does costs three times as much and doesn't work. So why don't I buy my own plan for retirement? And I don't want to do this Social Security thing. So then they changed it to Social Security tax. Now it's a tax. It used to be a contribution. What am I trying to say? How would you like to be an insurance agent and go out and say, here, I would like to sell you this policy, and if you don't buy it, you go to jail? That's a sure sale every time. Can't go wrong. Here, sign here, or you're off to the calaboose, right? Crowbar Hotel. Here's the pen. Boy, what a deal. And that's what they've got. They've got a system where they have everybody hornswoggled into this thing, and you can't get out. And it doesn't have any money in it. So it has so little money in it, they're running advertisements to tell you how much money they've got. They're on the radio all the time. Oh, Social Security is good well into the next century. Boy, is their nose growing. Huh? Anyway, chapter 21. See, there's no way of escape but the Lord. That's all. In chapter 21, he says, the burden of the desert of the sea. Desert of the sea? Desert of the sea. He's speaking spiritually here. See, a desert and a sea are opposites, aren't they? Desert is no water, or very little. And the sea is all kinds of water. But didn't Jesus tell one time how when an unclean spirit has come out of a man, or a woman for that matter, the Bible's written in the masculine gender, so when it says a man, it means a woman too. You have to understand that. But when an unclean spirit has come out of a man, what does it do? It wanders through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. It says, I'll return back to the house from whence I came. Tries to get back into the one it came out of. And if it succeeds, it brings seven more worse than itself with it, and then the state of that man is worse than the first. But these spiritual dry places are rather interesting, and I believe that's what he's talking about with this desert of the sea. How many remember that old song from the 60s, Horse with No Name? That was written by the inspiration of the devil. And it was all about this desert of the sea. And he goes on in the song, if you listen to it sometime, it'll tell you about how the desert really is a sea. And it's all full of strange analogies. But it says, the burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A terrible land. Now he's seeing a whirlwind passing through. He's using an analogy, a whirlwind through a desert which is really a sea of humanity, a sea of people who are spiritually dried up. Because the only true water is from the Lord. He time and again told us that he would give us living water, we'd have eternal life. What's the opposite of that? What's the other extreme? What's the other end of the spectrum? Dryness. Lack of salvation is dryness. And so now Isaiah is seeing a vision. God is giving him a vision. Listen to the vision. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously. In other words, it's like a perpetual motion thing. Treachery bringing forth more treachery. And the spoiler spoileth. ETH means continues to do so. In the Bible, when you have a ETH at the end of a word, it means a continuity. Continuing to be that way, continuing to be that way, continuing to be that way. So what is it saying? The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. What's a spoiler? That's one who takes your goods. When you go into a house or a land and you spoil it, that doesn't mean you wreck the ecology. The government will take care of that. It means that they take from you what you have. We don't have anything like that going on, do we? The last time I got my check from the university, I just about handed it back to them. Teeth marks all over it. And not just the incisors in the front, but the molars in the back. You talk about big bites. You got to deduct for this and withhold that and deduct this and withhold the other thing. And pretty soon you only have a little remnant of what you really worked hard for. Right? We all experience that. We wonder, where does it all go? Well, it goes, Hillary has to run around and throw out the largesse. You know what largesse is? In the old days, they used to have parades. King and queen would ride up the street in a carriage. They'd have handfuls of money, and they'd throw this out to the crowd to be popular. The crowd would say, oh, wonderful, look, I got a couple of coins here. What a dear, sweet king. Threw out handfuls of this. So Hillary goes to Poland and to Eastern Europe and all over the place, and she's telling them, we'll give you $1 million here, $10 million there, $100 million here for this and that, and giving away all your money. You come back here and they want to cut your Medicare, and cut your this and cut that and cut everything. Right? People say, what's going on around here? What gives Queen Hillary the right to go out there and throw all her money all over Europe? Well, who's stopping her? Irony's gonna? Oh, what would you have to... She's the president, yeah. She wears the pants in that family. Huh? All right. Incidentally, if anybody wants to wish the president a happy birthday, he's having a party tonight. I pulled this off Reuters. I couldn't resist this one. This is how they come out of the computer at work. It's PinFed, so I just tear those off to make it thinner. But the Yahoo on there doesn't mean that has nothing to do with the party. Yahoo is one of the servers that it comes through. There's Yahoo and there's Excite and different ones. And anyway, Magellan is another one. But what this says is Clinton to turn 50 with a splashy bash. New York, Reuters. The November election might seem like the biggest hurdle facing President Clinton at the moment, but turning the big 5-0 looms mighty large. Don't you feel sorry for him? He's getting old. The president will be consoling himself and raising some Democratic campaign funds with a star-studded celebration on Sunday, that's tonight, the eve of his August 19th birthday at New York's famed Radio City Music Hall. Well, Arnie, I guess it's happening a month early, isn't it? Yeah, we're going out there. We're going to have to stop in there and see how many spirits are left behind. But next month. The gala is reminiscent of the 45th birthday bash thrown for President John F. Kennedy in 1962 at Madison Square Garden, when Marilyn Monroe delivered her breathily sexy, "Happy birthday, Mr. President." Huh? Remember that? Remember that? I remember when that happened. But this party will have none of that. Yeah, just check out the back rooms. The president's wife, Hillary Rodham Clinton, came up with another idea. A string of entertainers to represent each decade of her husband's life. Well, it could be worse. He could be 60. She really came up with the idea of celebrating the president's 50th birthday by celebrating the decades of his life, said her spokesman, Neil Lattimore. There was no intention, having one person singled out, but to let all the decades shine. Crooner Tony Bennett will present the 40s rocker John Bon Jovi, the 50s Motown greats Aretha Franklin and Smokey Robinson, the 60s singer Carly Simon, the 70s, country's Kenny Rogers and Broadway's Jennifer Holliday, the 80s, and country and western singer, is it Shania Twain? I don't even know who she is, the 90s. Clinton passes the half century mark. Wouldn't that be quite an entertainment battery there. Clinton passes the half-century mark during a presidential campaign in which age and its trappings already are an issue. The baby boomer president, one of the youngest ever to serve in the White House, faces World War II veteran Bob Dole, who, if victorious, would be the oldest U.S. president in history. The Republican nominee marked his 73rd birthday last month at a senior citizen center in Washington. Little contrast, huh? Where he and his wife Elizabeth Dole threw a reverse party and donated gifts to the elderly. Tickets for Clinton's party range from $250, that gets you through the door, that's all, for the event alone, to $10,000 or more. Anybody going? Which includes an orchestra-level seat, reception beforehand, and dinner afterward at the posh Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Here's the man who's for the poor and downtrodden, right? You and I that don't have any money, he cares. He cares. While he's eating his 32-inch steak at the Waldorf, he'll be caring for us, right? Some 5,100 people are expected at the bash, being tossed by the Democratic National Committee, the First Lady spokesman said. You ready for this one? Comic Whoopi Goldberg will serve as mistress of ceremonies. Who else? Who else could it be? Oh. I'm going to read that again. Comic Whoopi Goldberg will serve as mistress of ceremonies. Others on the celebrity roster are actors Ted Danson, Mary Steenburgen, Nathan Lane, and Leslie Nielsen. Comics Rosie O'Donnell and Tim Conway and poet Maya Angelou. Boy, he knows how to pick them, or she did. Hillary picked all these out, I guess, from the sound of it. Barbara Streisand, one of the president's favorite singers, was busy making a movie in California and could not appear, said her publicist. Attendees who can't be there in person can participate via more than 80 satellite hookups around the country. Don't miss it. I don't have time for such, do you? Among the absentees will be Vice President Al Gore and his wife Tipper Gore, who will join from a party of their own at Ryman Auditorium, home of the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. Mrs. Gore turns 48 on the same day the president turns 50. So she's got to have her own thing. But they're going to connect them. Connect them by satellite. We're all connected. Say, all one big thing. And, you know, it's interesting because I mentioned this last night. I didn't read this. I just brought this morning. But in our prayer meeting, I'd mentioned, well, let's... I just read this, and Arnie said, let's pray... Or rather, Gordon Allen, I think. So, yeah, it's Gordon. He said, let's just pray that this thing flops, this party. It just fizzles out. Something happens where it just doesn't work out. So we did. And I don't know what's going to happen yet tonight, but something already happened last night. I found out this morning that there was a plane crash last night. A government plane with Secret Service agents on it. Out in Jackson, Wyoming. Is that where it was?
Jackson Hole.
Okay, because the president was on vacation there. And obviously he took off sooner, is that right? And afterward, these Secret Service agents took off?
That's what they said on TV.
Yeah. And I don't know, didn't mention how many?
Seven
of them. You know, being around that guy is a kiss of death. I mean, everybody who's associated with Bill Clinton, something awful happens to him. He's a lightning rod for destruction. Who would want to get near him? But there's a little sign right there. So if there's seven Secret Service agents went down in a plane last... It was early in the morning, early morning hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about 2:30 this morning. They didn't have all the information. So if it's changed by the time you get home...
Okay. Yeah, those first reports. When I get to the university this afternoon, I'll bring it up on Reuters on the computer and see what they say about it. And the nice thing is you can back up into the archives and get the very first report because they archive everything. But I think that's rather interesting. We're praying last night that something would happen, and I'm not saying it's because we did that, but maybe so. I don't know. I just don't know. But I believe that when we pray, things happen. And this is an antichrist system, and we're dealing with a very dirty bunch. And if the Lord is going to stretch forth his hand and begin to show some signs and indicators that he's going to bring this system down, then praise God. Amen. It's a crazy world we live in. People are insane. Well, let's go back to Scripture. I may have a few more things to show you here in a minute, but I keep you in mind all week, believe me. So, he's seeing this vision, a grievous vision, is declared unto me, it says in verse 2. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. What's happening? In this vision, what is he seeing? Let's read on and it'll tell us. My heart panted, fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. The Lord's done that more than once, hasn't he? Remember Belshazzar's feast with a handwriting on the wall? Oh, I would love to see that at Radio City Music Hall tonight. I would love to see that. Wouldn't that be beautiful? I have numbered your kingdom and finished it. Huh? You are weighed in the balances and found wanting. If anybody's found wanting, it's him. He's the wantingest character I've ever seen. Anyway, prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise ye princes and anoint the shield. What's he saying? Take all the precautions you can. Be ready for battle. Why? For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much need. Much heed, rather. Oh, there's much need, too. But let me just mention something here. What does it say? Chariot of asses and chariot of camels. Well, the donkey is actually the symbol of the Democratic Party, isn't it? Well, too bad there's no elephants here. We could have had an analogy. But that's all right. Camels will do. See, it's the same sort of a situation. Destruction's coming. An empire was about to fall. That's what this vision is about. And he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. In other words, what does this all mean? Prepare for the battle, but we don't see much of a battle coming. Can you possibly be in a situation where everything is falling apart around you and you don't know it? When things don't really look all that bad to most people, but it's far worse than they may realize. When Isaiah saw this vision, he began to tremble. It shook him up. And here it tells us what's happening. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Yep, just like Revelation chapter 18. Same words. It says, is fallen twice. Because as Joseph said, when he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, when the thing is doubled, it means the thing is established by the Lord. It cannot change. So when something is said twice like that, it means the Lord established it and there's no undoing it. Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Isn't this interesting? Why? Well, it shows you, for one thing, what God thinks about the idolatry of a land and of a people. Do you know why idolatry is so bad? Because the Bible says that you, being a Christian, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That your body is a temple. And if you have another God, if you are an idolater, whatever you've given your heart to, and that's what worship means, to give your heart to something, whatever you give your heart to, whatever you give your allegiance to, whatever God you trust, you, your body, then becomes the temple of that God or goddess. And that's how you get unclean spirits to come and dwell inside of you. Either we are filled with the Holy Ghost, or the people out there that have rejected the Spirit of the Lord, rejected His Word, what are they filled with? Whose temple are they? They are filled with another kind of a spirit. We are living in a day when every unclean spirit that is cast out goes to the same place. Remember? Babylon has become what? The cage of every unclean spirit, of every hateful bird, as it were. And people who dwell in Babylon, who have the Babylonian religion, the idols of Babylon, all their whole life is captivated. And I'm talking about our nation. And I'm talking about the religion of their state. Huh? Talking about the state religion. Isn't there separation of church and state? This government is a religious government. They are Luciferian. We need to understand that. Hillary spending 5 days there in the solarium with her favorite witch, fellow witch, sister witch, Jean Houston, doing those mental exercises, talking to Eleanor Roosevelt and Mohandas K. Gandhi. Those are more than mental exercises. She was entertaining and interacting with multitudes of unclean spirits. She was tapping into the spirit realm. My Bible still reads the same way. It never changes because it's forever settled in heaven. It says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. That's what God thinks about it. And we've got one for a president, de facto. Well, amen. And that's how I know the Lord is going to take control of this situation very soon, and we're going to see some amazing things begin to happen. So, he says in verse 10, O my threshing, and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. Why does he in his agony, remember how he described his agony here? He says, my loins are filled with pain, pangs have taken hold upon me. A pang is a deep pain, as pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. What's he seeing? He's seeing an empire come down and a lot of people just blindly, stupidly coming down with it. And as much as I'd like to see it come down, I feel bad for a lot of the people who just refuse to listen. And you'd feel bad for them too. They've been victimized by this thing. They've been so brainwashed. They've been through the brain laundries of Illuminism that they could not see. The religions have held them back. They've not been able to come out from among them and be separate, as the Lord saith. And what's the result of this? What is he saying? Why is he crying out in desperation? Oh, my threshing and the corn of my floor. Well, because of the famine, because of the lack of food. You know, this is amazing. Our country is starving to death with the grocery shelves full, because what's put there doesn't have anything in it. And the grain is grain that doesn't have enough nutrients in it. Listen to the tape, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. He'll tell you all about the food situation, and even gives a solution to it. But it's a horrible, horrible thing when famine hits, when people are starving to death. They're getting all kinds of malabsorption syndromes. They're not getting the nutrients they need. Vitamins don't work unless there's a proper mineral balance. That's been proven. And people are starving to death. And the two causes of death really are either accidental or malnutrition. Because if you're deficient in something, you'll get sick. A calcium deficiency causes some 150 diseases. And all these diseases break out. And you know, a good example, Dr. Wallach on that tape mentions the various diseases in regard to calcium, and one of them is kidney stones. A person gets a kidney stone. I don't know if anybody here has ever had one, but you about wish you were dead almost. But the kidney stones, the doctors will say, no calcium, no dairy at all, can't have any of that, because they think that the calcium you eat becomes kidney stones. And what it really is you have a raging calcium deficiency, and so your body is trying to take calcium from the bones, and that's what gets clogged up in the kidneys, not from the food you eat. You need calcium. If you have kidney stones or problems with that, you need more calcium, not less of it. And the doctors should know that. And either they are very, very ignorant or very, very evil. One of the two, and neither one deserves respect. Amen. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I can figure that much out. In fact, these things have been proven, but they won't tell you because they've got to make their money. Believe me, when they make their payments on their house and their Mercedes and their yacht and all these other things, they love to see you come along and stay sick and stay sick and stay sick, because that keeps the money rolling. Well, be sure and listen to the tape. I hope there are enough here. I'll make more if not. But anyway, this is the problem in our land. He's crying out, oh, my threshing and the corn of my floor. Desperation here. Because of the food shortages. And incidentally, it's another thing, and I've got two things on this. I left it all connected together. But the second one pertains directly. Let me show you the first one, though. I pulled this off the internet, and they can't leave this subject alone. They want to find life out in space so bad, they'll grab it. And where there's water, there's life, right? Well, Pluto's covered with 35 feet of ice, 35-foot shell all the way around Pluto. There's water there. Where are the Plutonians? whatever you call them. Huh? They want to find life out there somewhere because they want to have an invasion come down from space. See, there is life out there, wicked spirits. The prince of the power of the air and so forth. Are there flying saucers? Certainly they're flying saucers. Some of them are spirits and some of them are manufactured by the United States government. I was talking to a man who he's an ex-Marine. He's retired now, but he lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he used to watch over by Oak Ridge by the Y-12 plant. He used to watch these things come right out of the ground and go up, just right up into. Hey, I did that pretty good, didn't I? Just right up. You kind of hum and whistle at the same time. And right out of the ground, right up into the skies, and come down, and he'd watch them underground. Back in 1955, the New York Herald Tribune, which is now defunct, it is no longer in business, had published a series, I believe it was in April, on UFOs and anti-gravity. So I went down to the State Historical Society because the Wisconsin State Historical Society in Madison purchased the entire collection of the newspaper, as long as it was ever published, put it on microfilm. And I went down and made copies of that from the microfilm. And they tell all about it. Right after World War II was over, they had gyroscopic energy back then. They were showing metallic objects floating in the air on these newsreels they'd always show before a movie. But all of a sudden, there was dead silence, and you didn't hear anything about them anymore. This is back in 1945, 1946. Well, in 1955, the newspaper ran that series and then went out of business. I wonder how. And I've got copies of the stuff. I don't know if anybody wants any, but I can make you some. But it's just incredible what they tell you and what they show you in there. They were floating metal. How come we can't do it now? We can, but they don't want you to know it. And they want people to think that there are these Martians up there. They're going to come down and save our planet. That's why they fill your head with all the science fiction. But what it is they're setting people up. Whatever it takes, they've got to somehow corral everybody into one unit of population for absolute exploitation and control. That's the plan. That's what's going on. If you're wondering what are all these little things happening, these incidents that sometimes seem related and sometimes not, these are all integral pieces of a puzzle being put together to establish a system for their god Lucifer. And I don't want any part of it. And I'll tell you something. Time is short. The days are evil. And it won't be long until the Lord comes. And there are great things going to happen. We're going to have to stop with the 10th verse here and pick up on verse 11 because I want to allow time for singing. And for prayer. Do you know how important it is to sing and worship the Almighty? It drives devils away. Remember David's harp? I played and the evil spirit left? Amen. Well, let's sing a chorus here. I just really feel like worshiping the Lord for a little while, and I hope you do too. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is Lord, chorus says. He is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. And every tongue shall confess. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you.